Hi, this is Mary Santora, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Elizabeth Seaman. Enjoy.
To the default setting, where we find out what makes you tick because we have ways of making you talk. I am your host, Jess Falstick.
And I'm your co-host, Elizabeth Seaman.
Today we have a two-for-one episode. We decided to change up the format today just for funsies. My brother, Joey Oakletree.
Hi.
And then his girlfriend, Linda Penrose.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's all make noises.
We're all here today.
You guys just got to off of a plane in LA. And
I know. He's been awake since 2 in the morning.
Oh, gosh.
Now 2:30 in the afternoon at home, so.
Yeah, let's talk to somebody in Ohio.
12 hours. He's been awake for 12 hours now. And it's only 11:30 in the morning here in California, so he's got a long day ahead of him.
We'll make it work.
You guys should go to that weird, that shack. That shack bar.
Oh, the shack restaurant?
What's the place we went to where you did the karaoke?
Yeah, the shack. I took Joey there before.
Yeah, we went there.
Did I take you guys there last time you were visiting?
No, it was
okay, just you you moved me in.
Yeah.
Joey went there for the first time when I moved out here.
We went to that other bar by it that had like the Ohio State backers.
Oh yeah. Did we go to Prince of Wales when you were here?
I don't think so.
Yeah, there's like an Ohio State backer bar there, but I don't know. That's a whole mess.
Ohio, we're everywhere. You didn't even want us there.
I said Prince of Wales sucks. So, Joe, you said your default setting is nothing. Nothing is the same.
I wouldn't say nothing's the same. I think over the 30-something years I've been on this planet, I've definitely... have been molded and shaped drastically.
Yeah.
Kind of throughout it.
Yeah.
I think the basic foundation of who I am, I think we always kind of, we were always taught growing up to be kind and nice. And
yeah.
Be selfless and all that. And I think fundamentally that's mostly still there. I think in general, though, just kind of everything that's gone on in my life, all the different things that's happened, and it's kind of shaped me. Like, every few years, I feel like I'm kind of different than what I was years before.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Can you think of, like, something, like, kind of starting at the beginning, we talk about the things that are, let's kind of talk about the things that are the same, because you touched on that a little bit. You talked about how, you know, there's, like, fundamental stuff. Can you think of a thing, like, from when you were younger, maybe fundamentally, like, kindness or whatever, that you still, like, for the most part could apply to every day?
I mean, just, like, I don't know. I mean, especially with our grandma, dad's mom, I think she was always, like, extremely selfless, doing stuff for other people, always like almost being overboard with it.
Yeah.
That kind of always wore off on me. I think that's kind of where a lot of that like foundation came from for me. Like, my goal in life is to kind of help people.
Yeah.
That's like what I want to do. And I think it kind of came from that. A lot of the decisions I've made in my life have kind of come from that. And what I've decided to do, like, in certain situations has come from that, so.
Yeah.
Do
you remember, like, a specific example where you thought to yourself, like, oh, that's what I kind of want to do?
No, I mean, I don't know. I never look, in most cases, I never look just at, like, one situation where I see something, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's something I want to do. It's just kind of developed over time.
Okay.
And, like, building relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been, like, a person to make an action just based off of one circumstance.
Yeah.
Usually. I mean, there's some cases where that's, you know, if you do something stupid and you learn from that experience, but.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've ever, like, I mean, I think, I totally get what you're saying. I think there's a lot of, like, long-term exposure to an idea that gradually sort of seeps into forming who we are. I know a lot of times, too, though, people will have, like, pivotal moments that kind of stuck out to them, you know?
So, I've never had that.
Really?
I mean, okay. I've never had, like, a moment in my life where I'm like, Eureka! Or,
yeah. So you've never had, like, an epiphany where you're just like, oh, shit, this finally makes sense now, or something like that? Not that
you... That's really interesting. Not really. It just... I don't know. I tend to act non-emotionally about stuff, and so I always am constantly like reviewing things and analyzing things and just kind of like piecing stuff together as I've gotten older.
So no eureka moments, but you've been like waterboarded into being like a nice person over your life.
No, not at all. It's just, I don't know. It's just gradually.
Sorry, that wasn't like a negative thing. I was just using waterboarding.
No, no, it's totally fine.
I'm like, no, no, I swear I wasn't trying to be. With my family, they're Catholic, and there's like, they just roll with the, I mean, like, you know, guilt is a thing that we.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's a weird combination of like, guilt and selflessness, where sometimes I'm like, where's the line?
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, because it's because I'm very fortunate. I had parents and grandparents and stuff. They were always like that. You know, they put themselves out there. They go the extra mile. They're late to work because you forgot your lunch. They stay up late because you need to finish that project that you waited till last minute to do.
Yeah.
They didn't just tell you, guess you're fucked, like they probably should have, maybe, but.
I mean, that's a really great point. I mean, have you ever considered, like, do you think, like, that sort of, have you ever felt, like, it sounds like the answer is no, like, a sense of obligation to be good from a moral perspective, or is that something that sort of comes out of, like, a more golden rule, I would like to be treated this way, so that's how I, you know what I mean?
I don't think it's an obligation, but I think it's a belief that that's what the world should be, is people should be kind to each other and caring for each other and not just constantly yelling at each other or having disagreements and not knowing how to talk through a disagreement and give facts and evidence to what you believe in.
Yeah.
Listen, it sounds like you're definitely way more on the, like, logically, we should all love and respect each other. And so when people are bringing, like, all these emotions in, it's not great.
I mean, and let me say, like, I want to be more emotional, though, because it kind of sucks not, like, making decisions based off emotion. Because sometimes I feel like I don't feel anything, you know what I mean?
Oh, wow, okay.
But that, there's pros and cons to that kind of decision making too. Yeah.
Some of that does kind of come back just a little bit of depression, but
yeah.
Yeah, I feel you there.
I've never really, I don't know. In a lot of cases, I just don't feel like I felt something. Even like when we have a situation where like something really great happened, like I'm never like, yeah, this is awesome. I'm just like, all right.
Yeah.
And if something that sucks happens, I'm like, all right, well, whatever.
See, that's another like pro and con, because it's like awesome, you don't get all messed up when something bad happens, but then
I think
also, you know, that does feel like it would kind of suck if you can't feel like that extra high that other
the grieving
get.
Process that you need to go through,
yeah,
like when something bad happens, like from a mental health standpoint, if you just kind of like shake it off, I don't think that really releases what happened. It just kind of builds up. And
that's true.
What's
like a tea kettle. It blows eventually.
What's so interesting about what you're saying is, like, you know, he's right from the perspective of, like, depression. Depression is a big part of, like, not feeling feelings, right? And you, like, it almost kind of makes you, like, emotionally stunted, kind of in the ways, like, autism. Yeah. Like, people don't know how to react to, like, happy events. People don't know how to react to sad events, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what's also interesting about what you're saying is, like, I'm medicated through the ears, as a result of depression. And, like, the thing is, I don't feel, I was feeling too much when it came to, like, at least with me, my experiences with depression was just, like, I was just feeling every little thing all the time to the degree that I couldn't function. Like, I actually could not physically, like, get through a day without being, like, crying, sad, mad, like, whatever the case was. Yeah. So I think it's so interesting that, like, depression can have sort of these, like, interesting, you know, takes. And then for someone who's medicated, I almost kind of, in a lot of ways, feel like I'm not feeling enough. You know what I mean? Like, exactly what you're saying, like, when shit happens, it's like, meh, shit happened. And when, like, shit's great, yeah, I get happy, but it's not, like, the sort of high, I don't feel the highs being as high, and I don't feel the lows being as low, because it's more regulated into...
Right, which is another mixed bag, because, like, I feel like, similar to you, it's like, there was points when I was depressed where I went from, like, feeling everything to then I finally hit the feeling nothing part, and I was almost, like, relieved. I'm like, oh, thank God. It was fucking too much before. But then, you know, doing medication and stuff, it kind of, like, puts you in this middle ground. It's not, like, I would say it's probably better. It's better. It is better feeling than the other two, for sure.
So, but you mentioned, like, you felt like your whole life, you haven't, your instinct is not to be emotional, but to be more logical.
Yeah, for the most part, I like to think through things before I make a decision, because the last thing I want to do is just make a rash decision and then that backfire horribly on me.
Does that come from something? Like, do you think when you are younger, maybe the emotional, like, is your instinct to react logically come from a place where reacting emotionally blew up for you? So, or is it more just like, that's just your instinct, that's how you've always been?
No, that's just how I've always been. I don't know if that's just like a, I wouldn't say a guy thing, but I know a lot of guys don't tend to react the same way as women do, and I don't know if that's just a biological thing or
a
sociological thing or how that works out, but I don't know. I've never really felt like I've emotionally kind of made decisions based on what I felt, or I always wanted to think through everything before I actually did anything further based on the situation.
And that's just been an instinct for you to just
say... I don't know where that comes from. And maybe there's something that happened that I'm not recognizing.
Yeah.
I mean, this day I'm still figuring out stuff.
Oh, you'll figure out stuff. Well, I'll figure out stuff till we're dead. Yeah.
I mean, just like in the last couple of years, I realized like 2 or 3 times a month I have nightmares about tornadoes.
Me too.
We went through a tornado.
Me too. Yay!
Like, it never even dawned on me that was the real. Like,
yep.
It was a thing, and just like a couple of years ago, I'm like, oh, this is probably.
I had one Wednesday night, actually. I had one last night, actually. What? I have them a lot.
And it's weird.
I hate tornado nightmares.
Do you get them too?
Yes, my tornado nightmares are always the kind where I'm trying to tell my family we need to get in the basement, and nobody's listening to me, and everyone's acting like I'm overreacting.
Have those, yeah.
The tornado that you can see through, like, the living room window. It drives me insane. But, like, Liz, I think you just need to chill. It's literally right there. And they're like, okay, I'm going to go back to sleep, and you're overreacting.
What were you saying about yours?
Well, no, it's just weird because I don't. When I look back at it, I mean, it's one of my earliest remembrances.
Me too, yeah.
But when I look back on it, I don't think of it as that traumatic of a thing.
No!
I mean, it was...
Well, like, the worst thing, we had to go in the basement, like, every once in a while. Like, and then no tornado got near
our house. I remember looking out the window in the basement and seeing, like...
Yes, me too!
Trees going, like, back and forth, but...
Yeah!
They didn't seem that dramatic, but still, like...
It was scary. I think the one thing I remember that was the scariest part was Dad thinking that the house was going to be gone when we came back upstairs, because we didn't know. Like, we didn't know if the house was still going to be there. So he made us all wait in the basement while he opened the door to see what was left of the house. And he opened the door and the house, like, everything, the house was fine. Like, the house was literally, like, untouched, which is crazy just considering the fact that, like, there were so many trees around where we lived. Like, we lived basically, like, right outside of a forest. So, like...
Obviously, so, like, where you guys lived, you guys probably had a lot more actual tornadoes. Because I'm from the west side of Cleveland, so we would get, like, tornado warnings and stuff all the time. But, like, rarely does anything actually, like, touch down too close.
Yeah. Yeah. I always wanted to see a water spout when I lived on the lake. I don't know if you ever got...
Oh, yeah. I've seen videos of people.
I've seen the videos. I never actually seen an actual water spout, and it always made me mad I never got to see one. Because those are they're basically like harmless tornadoes. Like, they just come along and like blow up some water, and then that's it. Do you have them like once or twice a month, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple times a month.
Are they like terrifying or is it more just like, oh, there's a tornado?
No, I mean, most of the time they are pretty terrifying. Yeah. Like, they'll wake me up.
Yeah.
Out of sleep.
What's like the scary part of them? Like, what do you feel like? What's the part that's like actually freaking you out about them?
I mean, because it's just, the tornadoes are destroying things. There's lots of destruction or people are getting sucked away or, you know, stuff like that.
So like in your dream, you're watching that happen?
Yeah. I mean, I'm inside whatever building they get hit by a tornado and there's stuff flying everywhere. So
do you often wonder, I wonder this sometimes, if we would have those same tornado dreams if we had been older or younger when it happened, just because of like the ages that we were at?
Yeah, it's, I mean,
such
probably
a formula.
I was like,
you're six? Yeah, I was eight. Yeah,
those are pretty formative years. So
yeah,
especially that being one of your first
memories, right,
is something that kind of traumatic,
right?
Because
I just wonder, like, if a tornado happened, like, if we never experienced a tornado until we were, like, now, it'd be, like, it'd be scary,
I'm
but
sure,
I don't know that I'd have.
I'm sure that mom and dad probably have.
That's true.
About it, too, because it was probably traumatic for them.
They were, like our ages when the tornado hit.
I don't know how.
Mom said she has tornado dreams. She told me she has, so.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I swear, my tornado dreams are more, like, I don't know, like, not necessarily that I've been through that many. Like I said, if I'd get in the basement a couple times, but I don't know if the one actually got that close. It's more like, I'm trying to tell people one's coming and nobody's listening.
No, I have that. I have that one with 911. Like, I'll call 911 and the 911 operator's like, fuck off. Like, the 911 operator does not care that I'm calling.
Yeah, but I've also, because you guys are talking about, so if you didn't have it till you were old, like, I didn't experience an earthquake until I lived in Japan. And I was like,
I still haven't fucking experienced an earthquake. And I
was, okay, it's not that exciting. I'm going to be honest. Like, I was there and it was like 6 a.m. or something. And like the paper doors were like shaking.
Oh, cool.
And I just like looked up and I was like half awake and I was put my hand on the door and I was like, why is this shaking? I'm like, oh, it's because my pillow's touching it. My bad. Like, scoot down. And then I went right back to sleep. I went in the kitchen in the morning and everyone was like, did you feel that earthquake? And I'm like, yes. Totally. I knew what it was the whole time. But I've never had an earthquake nightmare at all.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, it's probably, well, that's the thing too, like, just getting off topic on the subject of natural disasters, like,
yeah.
I mean, like, tornadoes have, like, more of that, like, concentrated sort of disaster impact. Like, earthquakes can just kind of be like, oh, this is fun, and then that's the end of it, you know? Like, tornado, there's no level of tornado where you're just kind of like, oh, there goes a tornado. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like,
yeah, oh, it's such a casual tornado.
A casual tornado.
But then there's other times, but you know, but then we're like, with earthquakes, you also don't get like the warning, like, everybody get in your basement. There's not like that like, end
yeah.
up. It's like, it's happening.
Did we have a warning for ours? Was there a warning? I don't remember there being a warning.
No, it was different back then, so you had to have an actual sighting for the warning. So you didn't have the radar technology.
There's the watches, and then there's the warnings, and then some places have sirens.
We were
they can do warnings just based off of radar.
Yeah, the radar. Yeah. They can sense the whatever. Yeah, we were just sitting in the living room, and then my dad's just like, oh my God, go to the basement! And we were just like, oh, okay, because he like got up because he felt like the chair vibrating or something.
Oh, geez.
And he looked down in the backyard, and I guess he saw like branches like flying up into the air.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and he was just like, ah, get out of the basement! So, like, we all just ran out of the basement.
That seems like a good reason.
Yeah, so, so, like, you said you realized, like, the tornado dream, or what are some examples of some other things that you've, like, realized?
I mean, that's the most significant. I know, recently, my job has definitely affected who I am quite significantly. Now, whether that be permanent or temporary, I'm not sure.
When you say who I am, like, what parts of you?
Just kind of like my personality. I used to be, I mean, I don't know if this is just growing up in general, but I used to be a lot more like fun, active, outgoing, fun loving. No, more recently I'm just kind of like, do my thing.
Is it because
you think it's your job or just getting older?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I think my job definitely affects it. I think if I was in a different situation, that was more positive, more upbeat, having to deal with kind of less angry, unstable people.
What do you do for your job?
Auto insurance.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, you deal with fun people.
Yeah. So, I mean,
all the time.
Deal with people who had a recent traumatic experience themselves with an auto accident, which I didn't. I try to be sympathetic to that and empathetic, but whether it be like today's political climate or whatnot, the last few years people have just upped the ante with how unreasonable that they are. And
well, yeah, and you're, I mean, too, I can see how like it makes it, because you're dealing with 50 people's worst day of their lives.
Exactly. Yeah.
Your every day.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, it's hard. It's definitely hard when you're dealing with that, and then just working in corporate America in general, that you're getting pressure from both sides. You got customers who want you to do this. You got people above you who want you to do this. So you're just kind of getting squeezed from both sides, and it takes its toll on you doing that day in and day out. So I mean, I think that's definitely brought me down. Now again, that also might be part of, you know, dealing with depression, but
it can't help though. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a little calm A, a little calm B. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, if I did something that was a little less negative all the time, I think it would definitely help.
Have you ever given thought to like an extracurricular that sort of takes the edge off?
I mean, I've done that in the past. I mean, I was streaming on Twitch regularly, and I haven't done that in months.
Really?
Well, nice.
That was helpful to a degree, but also it was tiring having to, I mean, because you work all day sitting in a desk, and then you go home, and then you're sitting at a computer again for 2-3 more hours.
Yeah.
And playing a video game is obviously different than working.
Yeah.
But that's also kind of hard, because you're chatting with people on the internet. You don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Most of the time, you get really nice people. Sometimes you get somebody whose username is Fuck the Jews or something like that. So you're trying to deal with that.
Fuck the Jews, 69420.
There we go. The name of the episode is...
We're going to get the most hits on this episode ever.
Yeah, it's like people putting our names on lists.
This is the episode where, like, when we all get famous, we're going to have to go back and redact, like, a whole...
Yeah, this is
they're just going to keep saying that we said fuck the Jews, and they're going to take it out of context, like, over and over and over again.
Dan Harmon and that baby doll all over again.
So you're not doing Twitch anymore just because... Is it the troll thing, or...?
No. I mean, I rarely dealt with that. I think it was just the mentally exhausting... Doing a mentally exhausting job and then coming home and trying to... Because, I mean, I'm a naturally introverted person anyways. Yeah. So trying to be extroverted, talking with people and chat while playing a video game at the same time.
Is this just killing you right now? Like, are we absolutely...
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I enjoy this type of stuff. So.
Yeah.
But I kind of needed a break. Plus, with everything else going on this year with, like, grandma passing away. And
yeah.
Just everything going on, I just needed a break from it.
I feel the same way about, like, just being on computers in general. Like, being on computers at work all day, and I, like, come home, and I'm like, oh, my God, get away from me.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me want to, like, hop right back on one.
Well, yeah.
Even though I don't, like, talk to people all the time at work or anything, it's just like, oh, God, my brain, it's probably melting. Isn't this what they said would happen if I watched too much TV?
Yeah, exactly.
All the computer difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So, are you feeling better, worse, the same since you stopped twitching, or...
I mean...
What? Since you stopped twitching.
Yeah. Twitch.
I mean, it's nice having, going home and just, like, being able to not do anything.
Having your night, yeah.
Instead of going home and then, like, jamming food in my mouth and then streaming for, like, 3 to 4 hours and then going to bed right away.
As stand-up comedians, we completely understand that whole, like, oh, you work all day, then you go home, jam food into your mouth, and go perform until 1 in the morning.
Go perform, and then you jam a bunch of drinks in
your mouth. Yeah, you jam a bunch of...
And then you gain 40 pounds.
Ew, I've lost so much weight since I moved to California, because now all I do is smoke weed. I don't drink anymore, so...
It's amazing.
It's fantastic. So, I mean, are you feeling, like, a little... better now that you've kind of taken more time for yourself, or...
I don't know if...
It's better, it's just different.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. I think what's helped me was I started meditating in the mornings before I go to work. That's...
I've heard good things about that.
Good things.
That's definitely helped a lot.
Yeah.
I wanted to get into counseling, but it's almost impossible right now, which is good that you can't get into counselor, that people are actually taking their mental health.
Yeah, services. Yeah, that's a great
but
point.
It's like 4 or 5 month wait to get into a counselor.
Are you on the wait list at least?
No. I was trying to figure out other things I can do in the meantime, and just, so I started meditating. That's helped significantly.
Yeah.
And just right now, just trying to find a different career path. I think that's going to be the most dramatic.
Biggest change.
That'll help the greatest, is just getting into something less toxic for me personally.
So what sort of ideas have you entertained as far as a different career path?
Well, I want to do voiceover work at some point.
Oh my god, yes!
Right before I stopped streaming on Twitch, I was doing, some of my streams was just recording, have people type stuff up in chat and I just read it.
No shit!
And put it together as like a, some sort of reel of some sort.
No shit! That's awesome!
So I need to get back to that at some point.
So you have a voice reel?
Yeah.
That's, my mother has a reel! I don't have a fucking reel! That's really cool.
So. Look at you, whole family performer.
Yeah!
So hopefully at some point get into that. But
yeah.
I mean,
that's cool. Have you ever thought about like the online counseling stuff?
I did that last year too. That wasn't very helpful.
Why not?
It really works for some people who are super introverted, but not for others.
They always seemed like they would focus on like things that weren't like the issue that I needed to talk about.
Oh, really?
Like, I like bring something up and they would go like off on some other tangents. Like, that's not really what's affecting me.
Yeah.
See, I've got one friend who, like, he loves it. Like, it's the best. And then my other friend, she had the same experience as you where she feels like they were never, like, she's like, no, I'm talking about this. And they're like, well, do you think maybe? And she's like, no, I'm not. No.
The, like, counselor that you get, too, maybe.
Yeah,
it's
I was
just not
say.
A good fit. Because that's something that you need to have somebody that's a good fit for it to work in general.
Right.
Mm. I had one, like, 4 or 5 years ago that was great. Weirdly, I mean, it was a Christian counseling program. The only reason I went to it is one of my friends who wasn't a Christian actually went to it himself, and he said it was the best thing that ever happened to him.
And I mean, they don't try to convert you. Or
No. Okay. It's just...
sometimes you get different perspective.
Yeah, it's like less medical. I don't know if that's the term I want to use.
Yeah.
Maybe it feels less like sanitized or something. I don't know.
That's a good way of putting it. And it worked fantastic for me. I went 4 or 5 months. It did a great job, and even ultimately then, it kind of ended with me saying, "Oh, you should probably get me out of the career that I'm in." And 5 or 6 years later, I'm still there. But
so, what do you think has been sort of the I guess hurdle to getting out of what you're doing right now?
I mean, specifically getting in the voiceover, I mean, it's not easy.
Yeah.
Trying to put stuff together and then figure out where to send it, who to get it to.
I can help.
How to get that set up.
We have a lot of stuff in Texas or something.
You can get an agent, too, which will help you with all that
stuff.
No,
I mean, that's kind of what I want to figure
representation,
out.
Representation, yeah.
But, I mean, just...
And then just, there's a lot of, like, the animation studios and stuff and out of, like, Austin or something like that, where they do... they do a lot of stuff with, like, they get a lot of the Japanese stuff in, and it's like the hub for all of it.
Yeah.
Where they get a lot of stuff.
Of course, with voice work too, is that theoretically you could be remote, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you can apply for stuff out here and still stay in Columbus because you're just sending them clips.
Yep.
I think a lot of people don't, like, when it comes to like job stuff and like just feels like it fucks with your head. Like, a lot of people underestimate, like, how much having, like, a toxic job or, like, you know, like, a job that just makes you feel like crap can just really just feels like it nosedives, like, everything. Like, it can put you in such a bad mood for so long because you're there, you know, like, fucking, what, 20 hours a week, 40 hours, 40, yeah, I know math, 40 hours a week. Like, it's just, it's so... It can seem like, can't you just leave your stuff at work? But it can be soul, soul sucking.
And
like,
it's weird because it's not even 40 hours a week isn't a lot.
Right.
In general to the entire week. But it's so, if you're in a bad situation, it'll, like you said, consume your mind, like, 24-7.
What it makes me think of is, people who smoke, if you add up all the hours they smoke a week, it's probably, like, 12 total hours, but that's still gonna fucking kill you, you know what I mean? Like, things that are toxic.
Yeah, and you're dreading, like, they're saying, like, when you're there, you can't wait to go home, and when you're not there, you're dreading going back, so it, like, it's not like it's totally off your plate as soon as you leave.
So it sounds like voiceover work is something you want to pursue potentially full-time someday?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. That's cool. I don't, I'm not designed for the corporate American world at all.
Yeah.
Like, not at all, so I want to do something creative. I like working with my hands. I'm not good at it, but I like doing stuff like that, building stuff, making stuff, doing stuff that's creative, so I'm hoping at some point. And in today's world, there's no better chance in any point in history of doing that type of stuff for people than right now. So,
When I publish the episode, do you want me to put your email so in case anybody wants to reach out about opportunities for like stuff like that? Because I know you're not on social media. So we are going to switch gears and move over to Ms. Linda Penrose as our guest now. A good transition is Joey was just talking about how he likes to build things. He built her aging wiener dog a ramp to get into the house. How adorable is that shit? Yeah,
I was going to say you are good at building things. I don't know why.
It was a ramp.
Yeah, but...
What's your aging wiener dog's name?
Carl. With the C.
Carl!
Carlton Norman Nathan Scott.
Oh! I always wanted to get a wiener dog and a pug, and I was gonna name them like Oscar and Stanley.
Aww.
And you're gonna be best little old man
Office! Oscar and Stanley.
That was before The Office, but still works.
That's funny. Yeah, you built her a ramp. Did you build her anything else?
No, I mean, we change your shower.
Yeah, he's fixed things.
Plumbing and stuff like that, but...
You're a handy person.
It's handy. He is handy.
He's DIY.
My dad's very handy, so... And you spent a lot of time with Dad working in, like, his workshop and...
Yeah.
Working on the yard and stuff like that.
Yeah. See? No, I think that's something I've developed recently, the last couple of years.
Oh, really?
I've always struggled... I want to get off me here...
I always
struggle, like, in my mind I could have some sort of creation, but I could never physically output it. But in the last couple of years I've done a lot better where I can actually physically output stuff.
What's some other stuff that you've built?
I built a retro arcade cabinet this summer.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. That thing's amazing.
Yeah, it's fun.
Aww.
That's pretty, I mean, I haven't really done too much. I built that TV cabinet that's in my living room.
This is more shit than I've ever built in my entire life, so.
And then I've just been working on stuff. I'm going to work on my car next week.
Yeah, he's also good, handy at car fixing shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's why I took him with me when I moved out here. Well, also because I love him and he's my brother, but... But like driving 3,000 miles, I was like, if my car gets fucked, he's gonna be able to help me figure out like what we're gonna do. So, Smithers is right. Smithers is you can't see her, but she's like right by that. Yeah, she's like,
I saw the top of her head.
This is what she does whenever she can attest. She's seen when we recorded this in the past. Smithers will jump on my shoulder and just start batting at my face and screaming.
She just, like, she doesn't care the whole time. And then, like, Jess is on the couch and Sneep just walks up, like, tail in her face. And then she's, like, crying and pawing at her face like she hadn't seen her in years.
Ow!
It's all...
Yeah, like, you just came back from the war. Like, where the fuck did you think you were?
Look at me.
Let's talk about this. I love this. Self-deprecating.
Like,
all right.
Suicide jokes are hilarious.
Suicide jokes!
Oh, they are! Oh my god. Suicide, murder, all that stuff.
So I love self-deprecating humor. I am a big fan. I think Elizabeth is as well.
What do you think what is the reasoning for that? Is it low self-esteem?
So let's explore this, shall we? So self-deprecating humor. I think it can be different for everybody.
Yeah.
I think, so a big part, I think, of becoming endearing to other people, at least in my experience, is having humility, right? Mm-hmm. And being able to say, God, I'm stupid. You know, what a dumb fuck am I? That sort of thing.
Yeah, it feels like you're kind of like, you know, like, I'm not such a threat. We can have... Like,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, you have nice hair. And you're like, oh, it just fell out last night, actually.
So,
this is a wig.
That's the thing. Like, I mean, you make a good point as far as, too, like, I think people can take it too far. You know what I mean? Like, everyone should be able to accept, you know.
Sometimes it seems like a weird clinical thing where it's like, I think you might need help.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, all my life.
This sounds...
Not you, the crickets, like, they say something and they're just like... Kind of worried about
you. You and I talked about Hyperbole and a Half, the comic.
I love that.
Yes, we have.
So Hyperbole and a Half, I feel like is like perfect. That's, I feel bad because we were talking earlier about depression and anxiety and all sorts of things, and I think that's what ended up happening to her. Is I think she sort of succumbed yeah. to a lot of anxiety and depression, and so she kind of quit the whole.
Yeah. But it seemed at least it was maybe helping for a little bit, like, writing about it, but...
But I think in the end, it became too much pressure for her to have, like, book deals and all those sorts mm-hmm. of things to really keep up with that. But she sort of really hit the nail on the head with the whole, like... Like, she had this comic where it was like, and then everyone's talking, and then you're the last person to say something, and the whole group goes quiet, mm-hmm. and you know that, like, and now everyone thinks it's your fault that the situation...
Yeah, you killed it!
Awkward! Yeah, like, it's yep. all your fault.
And then you think about that for yep. 700 years after.
Yeah, you
like
wake
that
up...
one day when I said that, everybody got quiet.
Right? Phil, do you guys ever have moments where it's just like, oh, remember that one time I sounded like a dumb shit in third grade?
Oh, all the time.
Like, it's like, oh my God, nobody cares.
Every day.
You're the only one who remembers.
Every day of my life, I will wake up in a cold sweat at 2 in the morning, like, thinking about some dumb shit I said in kindergarten. And
right? Well, like, oh God, I was such an awkward fuck. It's like, oh, yeah, you were 5.
Yeah.
So.
You were fucking 5. That's just what happens.
Everyone's kind of a dumb awkward fuck when they're 5.
No, I mean, you talk about self-awareness. I mean, I think here's the thing, like, anyone who's awkward, the very mere act of being aware of it in and of itself, I think, is a really, really helpful, good, progressive,
yeah. Self-awareness in general is usually...
Well, because, I mean, like, awkwardness yeah. is built into a subconscious self-consciousness, I think. Like, awkwardness mm-hmm. is, like, even if you're not actively thinking of it, awkwardness comes from a place of, like, I don't know how to behave. Mm-hmm. I don't want to behave in the wrong way. So I am going to be yes. really, like, weird about, you know, whatever.
But then that's what makes it funny is then when you're just saying it. Like, when you're literally saying it out loud. Like, I was doing an open mic at the, Mad Max or whatever, which isn't around anymore, and they had a live band for everybody who like came up and did shit, and went on, and I was just like, I'm not cool enough for this, because everybody else went up and they're like, yeah, and they're dancing along, and they're like, dee dee with the drums, and I was just like, no, this isn't right.
The vast majority of comedians are awkward, so it surprises me that like they would put them in that situation of being,
oh my God, it was horrible. It went on like this is awesome for like a normal human. This isn't right.
Did you find that like you eventually realized like what is this strange feeling I'm feeling? Oh, it's me being awkward. Like, did you have yes. that moment at some point?
Yes, and then you also have people that have to point it out.
Really?
You're weird.
Because they're trying to cover their own ass.
And I've been called quirky my whole life, too.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you've heard been called that.
Oh, yeah. Quirky. Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, or they just want to put you, they don't know what you are, yeah. what you're about. They don't understand.
They're trying to put you in a box.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, they try to put you in a, they can't put you into a category, so they just yeah.
so
judge you. And
so with the self-deprecating thing, is that something that you did to kind of combat sort of that feeling of awkwardness, I would assume,
yes.
in your case? Okay.
And I wonder if it might be like kind of like a built-in survival
yeah.
technique for me.
Yeah, like a protection.
In social yeah. situations,
yeah.
especially.
Yeah, yeah, for
and
sure.
And then it's like it's just like if I had to say a character, like a character that would kind of be close to me, probably be Chris Farley when he's on that Chris Farley show at Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
And he's doing the interviews and he's like, and God, so stupid.
Oh, yeah. God, so oh, my stupid. God, I totally forgot
like
about that.
That.
I totally forgot.
That mixed with Wade the Duck from Garfield and Friends. Because he's always afraid all the time. Oh, he's wearing he always wears an inner tube thing around him. And he's always, like, shaking and scared.
Do you remember that at all, Liz?
Wait, what's the second one?
Wade the Duck from the Garfield show. Do you remember Garfield?
Oh, I remember the Garfield show. I don't know.
There was, like, a farm.
Yeah. I remember I watched it, like, well, God, I used to watch it, like, before school.
Yeah, exactly. We'd watch it before school. Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
But, yeah, I think, I don't know if it's a defense mechanism, but I've always just been drawn to people that are different from everyone else, too.
Yeah.
Not even like me, but just different.
Yeah.
We feel like they're sticking out, you know. Where
it's just attracted to that type of person, like, as a friend, and always wanted to, like, that's how I, like, you. I saw you.
I was that's
like,
how
he's
they
different than everyone here. Oh, okay. He's cool.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, that's something in LA a lot too. Like, you get your classic LA people out here. So one advantage to that is that you don't feel as pressured to make friends because everyone kind of sucks. So you're just like, oh, cool. I don't have to worry about being friends with these people because they suck. But like, also, it makes it that much easier to kind of spot the people who are worth talking to, worth getting to know, worth, like,
I know, going for the people who are like who stick out more, like, it always makes me more comfortable. Like, I remember the first friend I made in high school, it was like little orientation thing, and there was like one girl with like safety pin bracelet on, and she was sitting alone at a table, and everyone else is wearing like their athletic gear hoodies with their names on the back, and I'm like, I'm talking to safety pin. There's someone out there, and it's like, I don't know. I'm just more comfortable. We're gonna be like, especially if I feel like anyone is like even just the slightest bit more shy than me, I'm like, oh, okay, now I feel okay taking like the taking point for this, and I'll just be like, oh, hey, what's up? And her and I are still very good friends, and I don't remember any of those.
You're friends with people from school.
From high school, and one friend from junior high.
I forget, is Anya college or high school?
High school.
Okay, and Kelsey is high school too?
High school.
Oh, wow. I have one friend from college, and I literally don't talk to him. Our high school sucked, to be fair, but...
my high school didn't suck. It was
awful. You had an all-girls school too, which...
Yeah, and it was great.
Yeah. So that helped.
People talk shit about it, but it was amazing. I would love to have gone to... I would have gone to an all-girls college, I swear.
Yeah?
I probably would have if they weren't all probably private and super expensive.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. College didn't suck as much as high school did. Yeah, we had a really small high school. I think my graduating class had like 65 people.
Oh, wow.
How many did yours have?
Like 70-something.
Ours was huge. It was like maybe 500
good
something.
Good God.
And it was like a campus style.
Where'd you go?
Newark High.
Newark.
But it's not a campus style anymore.
I see.
I guess they merged it all into one building. But in between classes, you would have to walk from building to building.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
That sounds like a terrible winter time.
It was. I fell many times on my tailbone.
Oh, no.
That's what I got. As soon as I got to college, I was like, I hate picking out my clothes every day, and I hate walking across this campus in this frozen tundra. Remember when I used to get dropped off at the door, and you just stayed in one building, and then they came and picked you up at the door?
Yeah.
It was great.
It was funny just because, like, I had the opposite experience. Well, I really fucking hated high school, but also, like, I just remember going to college and seeing people, like, smoking and seeing people, like, doing whatever the fuck they wanted. And I was like, you can do that? Like, it was, like, crazy to me that you could actually just be, like, a person and not, like, a student that got demerits for every single thing that you possibly did.
Yeah, 60-65 people, you can't hide.
That's it. Like, they had all the time in the world to go after everybody for every little thing. Like, gum chewing was, like, a thing.
But I feel like that's why I liked high school so much, because it was bigger than, like, my grade schools and stuff. But it was the first time where it was like, oh, there's a bunch of us, like, oddball people. And now we're just like, we were all individual. We were all like adrift on our own islands in grade school. And now we're in high school where there was like, I don't know, around 100 people in my graduating class. And now we all found each other. So I don't know if I was just really lucky that year that we were just like, we were all, it's, you know, because it's like all the oddball people. And it just makes me feel more comfortable.
You had a really good class, it sounds like. Ours is like, we were all just kind of like on this, we were on this desert island and it was like Lord of the Flies where it was like every man for himself. And we all just wanted to set each other on fire. And like, it was just, yeah, there was very, although it's funny because all those same people who were like friends and clicked in high school, like I keep getting Facebook invites to be like, to go to the reunion, which is basically just a bonfire in someone's backyard.
Oh, don't go.
And they're all still friends. Like they're all like, that's, they don't have any other friends. Like they all married each other. Ooh. They're all.
Ooh, how incestuous.
Yeah. It's almost literally incestuous in some cases. So it's just.
I went to my 10-year high school reunion and my best friend and I got drunk and like snuck around the school while we were supposed to be on a tour. We're supposed to be on a tour and they're like, look at all our new stuff. And we're like, let's go backstage. And then they're like, they didn't lock the costume room. And
then all the shit you weren't allowed to do back in the day.
Oh God. Yeah. They're never going to let us back in.
You've been banned.
They've dicked around with one can of spray paint. Whatever.
So like with your self-deprecating humor, is it something you like to show off or you just use it as sort of more of like a deflection technique?
I think it's more of a deflection technique and now it's a reflex.
Really?
Like, it just happens.
Okay.
I don't even know I'm doing it. And then after I'll send a text to someone, sometimes I'll look at that and I'll be like, man, that's pretty dark. Like, know your audience a little better here.
You're like, we were just talking about, like, our favorite soup flavors, and I ended it with, hey, I should probably kill myself, huh? And then it was like, whoa.
I always do, like, I'll, like, drop something or feel like I mess something up, and I'll be like, kill me. Like, just, and I, like, just spill something. I say, kill me, and then I walk away. Well, it's like, no, you know what? I'd rather die than clean.
Wait, what did you say when you had the Rube Goldberg thing happen with the soup or whatever? Tell the story. Tell the story. Tell the story. It's so good.
Well, it was at my mom's house because I didn't have a food processor. She had a food processor. My youngest sister just got her tonsils out. Or, no, she just got her wisdom teeth out. So she was kind of in pain and stuff and, you know, couldn't eat solid food. So I made her like a roasted squash leek soup because you puree all the stuff like after you cook it. So I was doing it, but like I made a bunch of it. So I had to puree it in batches. And then one of the batches fell, hit a lid thing fell, knocked over the thing. Hit it onto the floor, which hit it into a fan.
No!
Which got it all over the wall.
Like, shit literally hit the fan and sprayed.
This butternut squash is orange soup.
Everywhere.
Like, I'm at my mom's apartment. I'm not even at my own place. I'm at my mom's place. And I was, like, torn between laughing and crying the whole
time. Soup would go in.
It's just like, oh, come on. I just called it my Rube Goldberg machine of sadness.
She took a picture. It was just like all over the walls.
I
was,
it's crazy. Yes.
God.
It went from the ceiling to the carpet.
Oh, and of course it was like bright orange. It couldn't have been chicken broth or anything.
And it's like bit like off white walls and beige carpet. I'm like, and fuck.
It looked like a fucking Jackson Pollock painting in your hat. Like it was just.
I just wanted to be like, I quit. Let's burn the building.
Burn it down. That's.
It's not worth it. Everybody move.
I've been doing the thing. So I started rewatching all of the Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And there's the Charlie Work episode where like it looks like it's all one seamless shot of him running around doing like all the Charlie jobs. And the episode, one of my favorite parts of the episode is he keeps telling Dee to, like, go move the dumpster six feet from the door. And she's like, it doesn't need to be moved. And then he, like, walks out of the room. He's like, oh, you bitch. Oh, you dumb bitch. Oh, you dumb bitch. Like, he's just walking around. He just keeps saying, oh, you dumb bitch. So my new thing is, like, every time I drop something, I like, park weird. I do something stupid to myself. I'm just like, you dumb bitch. Oh, you stupid dumb bitch. Like, I'll just like walk around saying that to myself all the time. And then like another thing that happens is I get, and I don't know if you have this at all, but I get this naggy little like conscience voice in my head that's like, don't talk to yourself like that. I'm like, fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you. I am a dumb bitch. I am being a dumb bitch right now. Like, and I tell my conscious thing to fuck off. Like, I don't know if you ever have that too.
Yeah, I do that. And then sometimes I'll... After I say the self-deprecating joke, and I feel like the person didn't get it, I'll be like, I'm just kidding. Like, I'll say it, and I'll be like, oh, I'm just kidding.
Only kidding.
Just joke.
Only kidding.
I only kind of want to die. It's all right.
That's the thing.
Well, I was just going to ask, It's like with your self-deprecating humor and stuff, because like I take, like, when it comes to like when something bad happens, and then if I'm complaining about it to other people, I try to at least make it funny, because then it makes me feel better about it and all that stuff. But like, do you find the self-deprecating humor, is it something that you like that you do? You wish you did less? You wish you did more? Because sometimes I'll admit it's gotten me in awkward situations.
It does. I think I like it, though. Like, I think I'm, like, I've always been dark. I was pretty gothic in high school.
Yeah.
I've always liked dark stuff, and it kind of, like, is a comfort to me now. Like, as a, like, I don't know. Kind of contrary.
Yeah.
Anything contrary to the norm or like what's popular.
I want to do both of you, you're both like into dark humor and entertainment and stuff. I just want to do, because that's our thing, like we love doing sketches, but we love doing like either dark humor sketches or alt comedy. I don't know if you guys do like watch a lot of alt comedy and all. So like, you know, I think what Andy Kaufman was probably a really early example of like alt comedy.
Between Two Ferns, like the
Zach Galifianakis, has the Between Two Ferns thing. Sacha Baron Cohen, I know you like. I mean, yes. That the alt comedy stuff, where even when it's like stand up, like in the, you know, go on stage sense, I just love it when someone just does something. Like Chad Weaver back in Cleveland would just do these things where he would like go up onto the stage on one of those little plastic tricycles, and he would just ride up. And then he'd have, like, a laugh track. Like, whoever was operating sound that night, he would tell, like, a really terrible joke, and then he'd cue them to play the laugh track. And then he'd be in the middle of a joke, and then the thing was, someone would accidentally hit the laugh track in the middle of his joke. And he, you know, and then all of a sudden they couldn't get it to shut off. And then it would play into, like, something else, like some other soundtrack for something. And he'd be trying to tell jokes, be like, guys, like, he would just do this whole thing.
James did a thing, my boyfriend, he was doing it for the Mike Polk show. It was, he lost his voice, and he has, like, this little drone Millennium Falcon thing, where it's, like, made of styrofoam, it's just a fan, but it's, like, on a remote control, and he just, I can't even remember what song he put on some, like, old school rock song, and just, like, launched this, like, fucking thing in there, and for like 7 minutes, like, so then it would like die down. Yeah, he's like with just on the stage with the remote control going like, if there was ever a way to do your set if you lost your voice, I think you nailed it.
I love about Mike Polk too, like, he's like the Cleveland celebrity who does like all the viral videos and stuff too, is like that's his thing. He doesn't really do stand-up, he does like like comedy sketches, and he does like alt stuff where it's just him being really dumb for like 15 minutes and you don't really even know what's happening. And that's to me funny, when you're just like, this makes no sense whatsoever. Yes. Like when it's just silly and it just makes no sense. You were saying, and it reminded me of this, someone last night was actually posting, I think it's like Suicide Awareness or Suicide Prevention Month or something. And he was actually posting a thread of like all his favorite jokes that he's written, because he's tried to kill himself like 4 or 5 times. And I think too, that's the other thing I love about dark humor. It almost kind of feels like you're saying fuck you to people who tell you you shouldn't joke about that in a lot of ways. And I don't know if you have sort of that. I have very much like a rebellious side where I'm like, don't tell me what to joke about. Really? Like, even if there's some stuff that you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, don't tell me how to joke. I don't know if you feel like it's almost like a contrarian sort of thing too, where you sort of enjoy making people feel uncomfortable, or you enjoy like...
I'm sure, yeah.
I mean, do you? Or is it more like you'd rather be more like people-pleasing than sort of like trying to fuck with people?
I don't know. I don't even know if I go to that conscious of a level with it. I think it just happens. Yeah. I think I've just been doing it for so long that... I would have to actually try to stop it if I... wanted to.
Does it matter to you either way, like when it comes out, like if you gotten to a point where you don't care? If
I kind of started feeling, well, especially lately with all the mental health stuff awareness and it's a good thing, however, it's more, people are more open about it.
Yeah,
it's like, oh man, am I like a negative, I don't want to be like a negative black darkness when people need light.
Yeah,
you don't want to feel like you're making light out of like the serious, those people find themselves
bring anybody down. or like something that I say as a joke, like sink into them as something serious, or you know, you just want to be like a positive light in the world and not so kind of, I don't know, but that just kind of goes with me as a person, like polar side. There's so many, there's like, I feel two-sided on a lot of things.
Yeah, no, I get that completely. Do you feel like you get more comfortable with it though as you get older, like you become less just like,
for sure,
yeah,
like just whatever, I'm just gonna do whatever I want,
yeah,
who cares? For yeah. sure. In a lot of ways.
That's everything. Good. Do you like that? I mean, are you glad that you're kind of, like, feeling more...
Definitely. Because I used to be I kind of am still, but a big-time people-pleaser. And then that is a self-deprecating thing, for sure, because then you sacrifice, like, your personality and who you really are. And
that's literal self-deprecating,
and,
yeah.
And, I mean, women were socialized to be more people-pleasers in general, so that you end up just... Yeah, I don't know. Feels maybe sometimes like a personality thing where you're like, wait a second, that's not me.
Yeah, yeah. I've been conditioned to think and feel.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. They were playing the long game on me.
So, I mean, I don't know. It sounds like you're in a good place with the...
Yeah, I feel like I'm finally getting to figure out kind of who I am and as a person and feeling more comfortable with that. And not caring about what other people think.
Yeah.
Because really, ultimately, it doesn't matter what anyone thinks.
Yeah.
And people might disagree with this, but I feel like, in a way, no one really does care. Because I'm not saying, like, in a grand scheme.
No.
I'm saying, like, you're worried about... how we freak out about what we said to that group of people. Mm-hmm. No one there gives a shit.
Yep.
All they care about is themselves.
Yep.
What they're doing that day and me.
They're probably thinking about something stupid they said earlier. Like, because I felt the same way because I'm like, man, is it my anxiety or is it actually like narcissistic? Because I'm assuming everyone gives such a big shit about what I did. So then, like, where's the line between anxiety and being a narcissist?
Such a great thing that you just said, and I find that fascinating because you're absolutely right. I think that there is a really weird line between, and it's distinct, but it is a very thin one between being self-conscious and being narcissistic. Mm-hmm. And I think where it bleeds into narcissism is where you can't possibly fathom that it could be about anything else but yourself.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes me feel better.
Consciousness is coming from like a more people-pleasing, like, oh, I hope I didn't make them feel awkward. Oh, I hope I didn't make them feel insulted. Oh, I hope I didn't, you know, hope I didn't cause this badness. Versus, you know, narcissism is more about like, I know I caused... whatever it was, there's no possible way it could be anything else but me. That's where it starts to bleed into it a little bit.
That's what I'm always trying to figure out where the line is, because it's just like, I don't know.
That's been the biggest thing that's helped me, especially in LA, is knowing how self-absorbed everybody is. That like 98% of the things I worry about, I'm like, oh, no one even remotely gives a shit. What
helps take the heat off of yourself. You're like, everyone's thinking about themselves. I'm fine.
Everyone else is so concerned about themselves and what they look like and what they're doing and what they, you know, they might stop and look at you for like, I told them last weekend, or I told Linda anyway, I don't know if I told you. So last weekend we went to one of those like Infinity Room exhibits.
Oh, I saw the pictures.
Oh my God. So it was amazing, but we showed up there, hadn't even gone to the Infinity Room yet. I went up to buy the tickets, and there's line dividers, and I went to step up and just fucking bit it just right over the line divider, just bite it, and, you know, and it wasn't so bad, like, no one really seemed to notice. It was kind of like a very small, like, it wasn't like a grandiose, like, flailing stumble. It was just kind of like a whoops, like, sort of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I get my tickets, and I turn around, and I go to walk out the door.
No, Jess, no!
It's a big glass head-to-toe glass window that I go bam right into, like, not even like whoops, not even like a bump, but like a I'm walking full speed out of bam.
When do you have to get like a Adam's gonna have to hold your hand anytime you go anywhere with doors and mirrors? Like,
everything just boom right into this, and everybody like stopped what they were doing and was like staring, and I was like, oh no, they're going to call the police because they think I'm on bath salts right now.
You weren't trying to eat anyone's face.
Full speed into a window. And I was actually really concerned they were going to call someone on me because I had fallen down and then walked into a window. No one did, fortunately, and somehow I went into a bunch of rooms filled with mirrors and didn't, like, kill myself. But yes, I think that it is important to define the line of between what our behavior is actually, like, affecting other people and when no one gives a shit. I think we assume people give a shit far more often. Our ratio is off, right? Like,
yeah.
Probably. Or we think that they'll remember. This is like, yeah, you can give a shit in the moment, but then, like, you don't fucking care anymore. And, like, yeah, I remember I did it, so, like, I remember forever, and they probably
exactly. Like, everyone who was staring at me like I was a lunatic last weekend probably has no memory of that even happening now. But at the time, I was like, no, this is very clearly people... What I've done right now is clearly mattered to people. Like, they're staring at me right now. But the thing is that I think happens far less often than people just aren't even noticing. So yeah, it does happen.
They go on.
Yeah.
Like, I was in the store one day, and this girl I was friends with in high school was there. And she's pregnant at the time. And she was like, well... And I'm already trying to, like, pretend that I care because I really don't fucking care. And she's like, yeah, I did have twins, but I lost one of them. And why was I, like... In this perfect acoustics setting, I go, no! And then it, like, echoes. It was real quiet. It was, like, the whole store. No! I was like, oh, my God. Well, I'll see you later. Like, good luck and everything.
But why does that?
That was, like, 4 years ago, and I'm still thinking about that.
But you know what?
Like, how did she feel in that moment when it was, like, I lost one of my babies, and here I am. Like,
no! But, like, the other thing is why... There's got to be a name for that acoustic phenomenon, though, because it happens to me all the fucking time where, like, you'll be somewhere where it's loud and crowded, and then you'll be like, and then I said, your penis, and everybody, like, everybody goes dead silent, and you're like, oh, no! Like, the one possible thing...
And then you try to ostrich yourself into some shelves, like, no.
Just, like, hiding under a napkin because, like, everyone in the restaurant is staring.
And then there's all these levels you think, I'm like, why don't I? I'm like, what's wrong with me to where I don't care that my friend from high school is pregnant? And why did
I have to yell no because I didn't know how to, like...
Why did it have to be perfectly set?
Timed when everything got quiet. Yeah.
How come stuff like that doesn't work when it comes to, like, winning the lottery? Like, the stars never align for that shit.
I know. I think about that all the time when I end up doing something I really didn't want to do. Like, oh, I don't know. Like, I'll throw a cat toy and it'll go, like, under the fridge. Or, like, I'll go to hang my purse on this little hook in my car. But somehow, like, this tiny, teeny, tiny little, like, piece of chain that's, like, the size of, like, a fucking, like, microorganism gets caught. And I'm like, if I tried to do this, this would never happen. If I tried to throw that cat toy from under the fridge 600 yards away, never happen. If I didn't mean to do it, it will happen every fucking time.
I killed a fly with a penny one time. Like,
what?
Yeah, I was like waiting, and I was in the car, and I was like waiting for my family to get in the car. It was a minivan. There's a fly. It was so annoying, so I threw a penny at it, and I pinned it between the window and the penny. And I'm like, I'm the goddamn Karate Kid. What the fuck?
That's right.
Take that.
And I'm like, oh, now it's just breaking. Like, I am one of the klutziest, most breakingest people ever. Like, I just knock things over and drop them all the time. But I'm like, that one time.
I'm a wacky arm-waving inflatable tube, man. That's what I
was embarrassed when I flew off that scooter and I first met you. Every day I'm embarrassing myself around you.
Came out last summer, both she and I wrecked our bird scooters. So
ouch.
You and I went bird scootering and nobody died, so that was...
No, I did swing that thing into my ankle, though, and that hurt like a bitch. And I did think about how I was going to die the whole time I was on it. The entire time we were, like, going down, was it, like, Venice Beach, and I was just like, oh my god, there's sand, and then you lose traction, and then you're gonna die like that, and then you're gonna die like that, or you're gonna die like that. Like, I just couldn't stop. I'm like, but it was fun. It was fun.
And some guy hit on you. I remember at one point when we were scootering.
Oh,
yeah, there was like a guy who stopped you and was like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, I think he's going to give me a CD or something. I don't know.
Like, oh, you're going to hit on someone as they're driving by on a scooter. That's an impressive game. Like, I'm just going to stop them on the run. Like, I'm just going to... Yeah, exactly.
What do you think? Are you waiting for me to circle back? Like,
because
if you start chasing me, I am going to get real freaked.
I can just picture that. You're just, like, driving down the fucking...
No, 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 no!
The guy's, like, running after you. Like, come back!
If I wipe out after all that, then I'm going to be really pissed.
Hers was really impressive because she managed to do it right into the sand. Like, she was just like, I don't even remember. I just all of a sudden hear like,
did it hurt less?
No. I just see her fly like through the air and then into the sand. Versus mine, I literally just went sideways across the concrete and like slid for like 10 feet and it was...
You got road rash from your electric scooter?
That actually. Like, it wasn't bleeding. It was just, like, a little red. It was really impressive. I don't know how the hell I did it.
Joe's like, maybe we won't do
it. I know. He's like, let's please stop. He's like, please, everyone stop falling. Please stop doing.
You're going to have to be, like a fucking motorcycle rider and just wear, like, your leather chap.
A helmet.
Before you're allowed back on.
Just fucking be, like, dressed to the...
Boot, helmet, leather jacket. Still allowed on. Yeah, you need the tassels.
Which serve no other purpose than to just look cool flying through the wind.
I would like, so then people know you're in motion, I guess.
Exactly, people have to know. I want to thank both of you for being guests today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
This is a fun episode. I'm glad we did this. You can
take a nap after this.
You can find The Default Setting on Facebook, The Default Setting Pod. You can also find me at Epic Fall on Instagram and Twitter. You can find Elizabeth Seaman and Carrot Pants on Instagram. Probably. Do you have any other places you can find her?
Nope.
That's it. I ruined it. I blew your wad. I blew your fucking...
Hey, I posted like 2 pictures last weekend.
Was that...
Like 2 whole pictures.
Was one of them the 12-sided die collection you had?
It was the whole thing of dice. Yeah, I was at a convention, and there was, like, one of those inflatable kiddie pools full of different, like, dice.
Yeah.
It was just huge.
It was a cool picture.
Yeah, I was like, this is a photo op.
Hell yeah. Excuse me. You got a good...
Excuse me, nerds. Stop cupping the dice in this area. I'm just gonna...
Cupping.
Well, because it was, like... $20 for a random cup of dice, or $30 for a hand.
Oh shit! Well then,
yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like that with sushi. I'll pay more when I get to pick what I want, so I get it.
Exactly.
I get it. I want to thank at Above Below Entertainment for being our network, and at OK Pants for doing our logo. K, love you. Bye.